It is so easy to just be in our comfort zone. If we're honest, when we're in our comfort zone, we're without stress. We pretty well know what to expect. We can count on certain things. And it's things that we have knowledge of, we have experience of, because we've lived there, we know there, we know what is there, we know the people that are there, we know that existence because it's where we're from, it's where we are, it's our comfort zone. That reading that we had this morning from Genesis the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 9, if you just took what God told Abraham to do, really what he was telling him is, you get out of your comfort zone. When you look there in verse 1, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show you." There was no indication upon what direction to go, what that land was called, what it was about, what was there. Nothing without expectation, or with expectation that Abram could have in connection with what God told him. God told him, "I want you out of your comfort zone." And he left. And we see that in verse 4. "Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." It has been said that our comfort zone is the most beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. And it's really the truth when you think about it. It's really the truth. And especially when we put it in connection with that which is spiritual and what God expects and the whole reason that God has put us here, the expectations that He has for us, really goes back to what is said to Abram in that overall thought or idea or concept, get out of your comfort zone. I want to talk first of all this morning to those that are not Christians about getting out of your comfort zone. And I believe that there are very good reasons for you to get out of your comfort zone. We're going to be taking a look at it in just a moment. But there is an action that you must go through in order to get out of that comfort zone. There is something that you must do in order to get out of that comfort zone. Turn with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. We'll start in verse 1 in just a moment. But that thing that you must do in order to get out of your comfort zone is to take stock of yourself. Take stock of your condition. As we go into these things, I recognize, and I want you to know that I recognize, because I've been there, and each and every one that is here has been there. That we're not asking, and God is not asking, for something that is easy here. It's not easy to look at your condition, to take stock of self, to really own up to what your condition is and your relationship is with the Lord or not with the Lord. It's not an easy thing. And what the Lord is telling those that are lost by the giving of His Son, with the expectations that He gives in order for one to become a child of God, is get out of your comfort zone. And so, first of all, you must take stock of self. Look at what Paul says here in Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 1. "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins." If you will take stock of yourself, you understand that your condition is dead. And that means separated from the Lord. The word dead means separation. And here Paul is talking about not the physical body being dead, but he's talking about the spirit being dead unto God. And Paul points this out, and something that must be taken stock of by those that are not Christians is that their condition is that they are dead. They're separated from God. You can't say, I'm a Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you've not done what the Lord would have you to do. You can't say, I know the Lord, if you don't do what the Lord expects of you. You can't say, I'm like other Christians, because you're not a Christian. You are separate from the Lord and separate from brethren. You're dead. And that's a hard thing to own up to. And I'm sure that there are many, I've heard this many times, that there are those that are asked, what are you religiously? And they say, well, I'm a Christian that has no affiliation with Christ Jesus whatsoever, but yet they make that statement. And they are dead in their condition because they don't take stock of themselves and they don't own up to their condition. But notice also, Paul says in verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And what he's saying there is that you're walking as the world directs. You are walking exactly the way that people want you to walk. You are walking just as others are that are in that dead condition. You are in that status quo. You are in the comfort zone because you look just like everybody else. And you act just like everybody else. And you think just like everybody else. And God wants you out of that comfort zone to think differently, to act differently, to be different, to be separated, as we're going to see in just a moment, from the world. But you have to take stock of yourself in order to get out of your comfort zone, to understand that you have to be different and not like just everybody else. Not just like them. And we see that example in Scripture. That's who Christ was. He was not like everyone else. John the Baptizer was not like everyone else. The apostles and the inspired men and women that we read of in Scripture were not like everybody else. They were different. They had to get out of their comfort zone. But we also see here in verse 2 of Ephesians 2 that not only does one walk according to the course of this world or the course of the age, but also they are puppets. They are puppets of Satan, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's hard to own up to. That's hard to look at yourself and say, I have a direct relationship, not with God, because I'm dead and separate from Him, and I'm living in the world, and all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, 1 John 2 and verse 16. I'm really then a puppet of Satan. That's really what I am. And if you take stock of yourself being separate from the Lord, there's only one other place to be. There's no middle ground. There's not this area that is separate from all responsibility. There's not this no man's land that exists. You are either for Christ or for Satan. And that's hard to own up to. And that's hard to swallow. Because no one wants to be thought of as being evil, as being bad. We're going to talk more about that evil in just a little while. But that's being evil. Where if you become a puppet of Satan, you are doing that which is evil. And the reason being is that you are not doing what God says. When you don't do what God says, that's evil. That's evil. But we also see that, as it says, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, that's being the puppet of Satan. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our way of life, our conduct of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In other words, we are doing what we want. And what we are doing in doing what we want is saying, I don't care what God wants. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter that He sent His Son to give His life for me. It doesn't matter that He died. And it doesn't matter that He showed forth with all confidence and with all indication that he came forth from the grave in overcoming death. I don't care that he did that. I don't care about those things. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way that I want to live. And you have to own up to that. You have to say that in that attitude, you have to say, I am selfish. I am selfish. And you have to say that because that's what your condition is. I don't care what the Lord has done. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm selfish. But also, he says here in verse 3, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I don't mean this to be a pun, but I want you to consider it this way. You're saying, well, I'm a nature child. But a nature child under wrath. And that wrath here, I believe within the context of what Paul is saying here, that wrath, that anger, that hatred is toward God and God's will. I'm a nature child. Paul's not saying that there is just this nature, this sin nature that is within individuals that they must overcome. No, what he's saying is it's about choice, and you're making choice to be this nature child, but under wrath and that hatred, that anger toward God, and you have to own up to that. You have to do it. You have to get out of your comfort zone if you want there to be something different than what you are. But know this for sure, that if you're not a child of God, if you've not rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ Jesus, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, know this for sure and own up to it. Take stock of yourself. This is your condition. And the scriptures are clear. There's no nice way to say it. You are lost. And not only lost, but we also see when we come down to verse 12 of Ephesians, the second chapter, that Paul says that at that time, being in that condition that we just talked about, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. And here is your next condition in the state that you are in, having no hope and without God in the world. I don't know that there's anything more scary than an individual without hope. And I will tell you that you can see the effects of that, especially with those that have carried on in this condition for a period of time. And you'll see some of the effects in that. You'll see people being cheated. You'll see people that have no concern or love or compassion on anyone else. You'll see people that will not have a respect of authority. You'll see marriages that will not last. Children that are left to their own devices. And ultimately, in some cases, there are those that, because they realize that there is no hope, they will take their own life. And you see the effects of that. And so if you're not a child of God this morning, I ask you to own up to this. I'm also going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone. Because that's what the Lord instructs you to do in order to change this condition that you're in. And when we see that, we look over in Acts, the third chapter. Acts, the third chapter, in verse 19. And there the call comes from Peter to those that were separate from Christ Jesus. And he tells them, repent and convert, that your sins might be blotted out. And what he's talking about there when he says repent is, you change your mind from these things that cause you to be in this condition. You take stock of self, and you make determination then to change your mind and to turn toward God. You convert then from what the world expects from you to what God would have you to do. You do that. And then, as Paul was told by Ananias in Acts 22 and verse 16, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I want you to notice that in that statement there, Paul was in this condition before he acted upon what Ananias said in Acts 22 and verse 16. Each and every one of us, we'll see that more in just a moment, because there's something I want to point out to those that are Christians here in just a moment. But Paul was in that same condition. He was dead, separate apart from God, because he was actually fighting against God. He was living as the world directed him rather than really looking into the truth. He was a puppet of Satan and being used and exploited by Satan in fighting against Christianity. He was selfish because he was climbing the Jewish ladder. And he makes mention of that, of course, later on. He was a nature child because of his wrath. That's the way that he was acting. He was exceedingly mad, as the King James Version says, against those of the way. He was without hope until he acted on his obedience, on his knowledge of what the truth was about repenting and being converted. And so then, in Acts 22 and verse 16, he was baptized, and that for the remission of his sins. And all of that went away. Notice what Paul says about that when we look back in Ephesians 2, now in verse 4 beginning. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together in Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul got out of his comfort zone. And I'm sure that he could have reasoned within his mind whenever that gospel was taught and Jesus Christ of Nazareth was taught to him, that he being the Lord and the Savior that he had been fighting against, he could have reasoned within his mind and said, I have all this heritage behind me that goes back all the way to Abraham. Genesis, the 12th chapter. His blood, Abraham's blood, courses through my veins. And you are asking me to give that up. And the Lord's reply in that, by the instruction that was given to him, was, yes, I want you out of your comfort zone. I want you to be somebody different. I want you to think different. I want you to do differently than what you're doing. He took stock of himself. He repented, he converted, and he obeyed. That's the call to you this morning if you're not a child of God. But you're not the only one that needs to consider these things, because I also want to speak to those that are Christians. I know the sermon would be a lot more palatable to you right now if I didn't discuss us. But you see, what we do in living the Christian life, and it being nothing more than a series of corrections, what we are doing is really day by day, and we should be, taking stock of self. Taking stock of self. And if we're not doing that, we're not getting out of our comfort zone. I want you to consider this, first of all. Look over at James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter. And there we're going to look at about... Oh, it's going to be verse 22 beginning. James 1, verse 22. James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. As Christians, we need to take stock of ourselves. And whereby look at what James says here in verse 22, he talks about being doers. Doers, and he says, doers of the word. Let me ask you, and be honest with yourself. It's rhetorical, of course, within your own. You have to answer. I can't answer for you. I have to answer for myself. Do you know now more about what God expects from you from the scriptures than you did a year ago? Do you know more? Have you grown? We're going to be talking about that in just a moment. But have you grown? Are you different than what you were? Are you a doer of the word, or are you merely just a hearer of the word, which takes no effort and gets no one out of their comfort zone? But has there been a change in your life since you've become a Christian? Let's just go back to the time that we were baptized. Is there a change in your life about the way that you think, about the way that you act, and in what it is that you're doing? Or are you in your comfort zone? Well, it's just copacetic. It's the way that I've checked the box. I don't know if you noticed or not, but my name is on the directory. Therefore, I'm in good shape. No. Get out of your comfort zone and take stock of self. And that's what James is saying here. Here's what he says about that. Verse 23. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man that looks at his natural face in a mirror. Just get that concept in mind. That, first of all, there's something good about that, that there is the gumption, at least, in some ways, to take stock of self. And they go up there, and this man goes up there, and he looks into this mirror, and he looks at himself, and that is commendable. It's not only commendable, I think it's what the Lord expects from us. But here's what he does with that. And he says, for he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. You see, he looks, he beholds, and in that beholding, he's taking stock of self. And that's a good thing, and that's what we all should do, because in that beholding, we should be looking into the mirror for the purpose of one thing, not looking in there and coming back then with the thought or attitude, boy, don't I look good. I'm exactly the way I should be. And we're going to see that that's not the purpose, because of the contrast that he draws in verse 25 in just a moment. He's not saying, look in the mirror to see your glory, your splendor, how great you are. But rather, the beholding into the mirror there has to do with the flaws that we have. And seeing those flaws, it is then with the intent of correction that we make to those flaws that we have. And he says, this man does it. He looks into the mirror. But we're going to see if that was the intent that he had. Because it says, he beholds himself and goes away, verse 24, and straightway forgets what manner of man or person he was. He saw all the flaws. He saw what needed to be corrected. But he wouldn't do it because he really wouldn't take stock of self. And there was really not the conversion of mind and thought and discipline within him to make the change. I know those are there, but I'm not going to think about them anymore. It reminds me a little bit of Gone with the Wind. I'll think about that tomorrow, is what Scarlett always said. No, that's really not taking stock of ourselves. The thought that is here, as we're going to see from verse 25 in just a moment, is beholding, looking at those flaws with the thought of correction in mind, because James then says in verse 25, but, here's the contrast, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want you to notice what he says. Being a doer of the work. What work? The work of being a Christian. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we should walk in them, conduct our life in them, that God has prepared for us. He says, here's the antithesis of this. When you take stock, if you get any benefit out of it, there's going to be correction. You see those flaws, you've taken stock, now you're going to make correction in your life. And where if I think about the growth of the Christian, I always have to think, of course, from 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9. with all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you where you are neither barren nor unfruitful in the Lord. But he that does not these things hath forgotten, and I'm going to paraphrase here down to the end of that verse, that's verse 9, he has forgotten that he was once purged from his sins. You see, we can't please the Lord as Christians being in the comfort zone where we never grow, where we never push each other, where we never push ourselves in being better than what we were yesterday. We have to continue to grow. Well, I'm just not learned. I just don't have the capability and all. And so many times that's nothing more than an excuse. And people have so many skills. And I see this all the time. There are those that can do so many things. And whenever it comes to serving the Lord, they make excuse why they can't. And when it comes to growing in the Lord, they make excuse where they can't. But you don't have an excuse. You have a reason that you've given. And the reason that you gave is not from the standpoint of really beholding the flaws that is in your life. You're really going back to the way that you were. You're selfish. I just want to be in the comfort zone. I'll leave the preaching and teaching to someone else. No. No. Let me tell you. When you look here in James, the 5th chapter, and you see the statement that is made, verse 19 and 20, James 5, 19 and 20. There's something we have to realize about being a Christian. And it says here, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We need to own up to the fact that if we're not growing in the Lord, if we're staying in our comfort zone, we are a negative influence and example on others. We need to own up to that fact. And we have forgotten that we were once purged from our sins. I ask you this morning, do you have the fortitude, the gumption, let me get right down to it, the guts, to take stock of yourself? First of all, if you're not a Christian, do you really have the strength to take stock of yourself and what you really are? And then beyond that, do you really have strength by going against the status quo, by getting out of your comfort zone and becoming a child of God this very day? By being converted to the truth of the Lord, by making a change of mind, and by being baptized for the remission of your sins, do you have that strength? Do you have it? And let me talk to us that are Christians. You know, I think part of the thought about taking stock goes back to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 3, and that is us not forgetting where we came from. Oh, well, I'm not like so-and-so. No, we were all alike. That's the reason that Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 23, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. We were separate from the Lord. We walked as the world wanted us to walk. We were puppets of Satan. We were selfish and we were without hope. And we need to remember that in our Christian life, and especially when we teach others. Because when we're looking at others that are not Christians, we're looking at the way that we were. We forget that. We become satisfied with self, really place ourselves back into a comfort zone. And so I'm asking you this morning, each and every one of us, will you get out of your comfort zone? Will you do it? It's a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.